No, it's Just Plain Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly. Tame it to the pilot, tame it to the tame,
tame it to the pilot. Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'll be glad to, Greg, your co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith. We are your crew this week for Just Plane Radio, the show devoted to the aviation lifestyle and learning to fly. Also, we have our friend Dennis on via the web today. Dennis, welcome. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great, Greg. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Now, Dennis actually has been flying, and he was hanging with Tom Haines last week at the AOPA fly-in. Now,
cool.
We connected with Tom, but we weren't able to connect with Dennis until this week. So.
Yeah.
Basically, we thought we'd bring Dennis on and find out how exactly it really went. Because, you know, Tom has to toe the company line.
Yeah.
And which is usually a pretty good thing. It's hard to mess up when you're working at the AOPA. They do such fine work.
Yeah.
But we figured, why not bring someone who is really has no allegiance one way or another and get the real skinny, the scuttlebutt on how the fly-in went. So, Dennis, that is your role. Are you ready?
So, did Dennis work for Fox? Is that the idea?
Absolutely not.
Fair and unbalanced?
Fair and biased?
Put on your To Catch a Predator hat and let her rip there, Dennis.
No, it was great. I mean, I've been to Sun and Fun and Oshkosh this year, and then yeah. AOPA chose Minneapolis as one of their fly-in destinations this year. So I got to see all three of really the major air shows this year.
Yeah.
And it was very interesting because the AOPA Expo, or fly-in, is a very subdued event compared to, you know, Sun and Fun or Oshkosh, you know. And the nice part about that is you can get to spend a lot more time with the people. You know, I'm walking down the aisles and walking in between the hangars, and, you know, here's Tom Haines. And so I had a chance to say hi to him, and, you know, having listened to him on this show and on AOPA Live, and it was nice to meet him in person. And he says, oh, so you're the other listener from Just Plane Radio.
Oh, he thought it was all just relatives, which,
right.
You know, me and Dennis aren't related. But we do have previous, you know, contact through scuba radio because he's an avid diver as well. So there is some connection that way. But, yeah, you're the other listener that we have, and we do appreciate it, Dennis. And it was nice for Tom to have, you know, pointed that out. But did you guys hit it off? Did you have, you know, share pancakes or something there at the fly-in or what?
No, we actually split an ice cream at the the ice cream social at the end.
All right. Well, that was a little strange, but whatever. You know, pilots are
pilots. Well, he got his sandwich. I got my daily bar. You know, we're good. We didn't actually split one.
Okay.
That's a good thing because I thought Tom was turning into Greg for a second there.
I don't even know how to respond to that. I don't think I should. So, well, what about the fly-in itself? Did you fly in in your plane or drive in because you're in the area or what?
I wound up driving in just because it was the weather was kind of marginal that day. We had 20 to 35 knot winds, and I just didn't feel like taking a risk and having to tie the airplane down, you know, during the show. I didn't know what they'd have for transient parking, and I didn't want my my Skyhawk winding up running into something else more expensive. So I felt it was better just to drive.
Yeah, you thought it'd be too much of a hassle, too much traffic, too much stress.
For a 30-minute drive versus a 15-minute flight, and it just to me it was easier just to drive up there, and I think it was the right decision based on the number of other people that flew in. But we were up the night before. Also, Cirrus was hosting a kickoff party, so we were able to come up. I saw a lot of the people were already in camping the night before, so
yeah.
They're definitely taking advantage of the expo.
Well, from what I saw from some of the video that was shot there at the event, there was some weather that was threatening the event, but it ended up not being a factor. So
yeah, it missed us, which was nice. But a lot of people were planning on heading out. They were forecasting, you know, severe winds and heavy storms, you know, to pass through like 7 p.m. So people were getting out of Dodge as quickly as they could.
So driving in was probably the best option, and especially looking at the weather situation and, like you said, keeping the stress levels down just a tad. But you got
exactly.
There. You got to hang with Tom. Did you meet Mark Baker from AOPA as well?
I did.
Yeah.
Got to talk to him right after his big speech. So we had a chance to talk to him a little bit, and you know, it's just like I said, it's nice being able to talk to somebody from that organization that also has roots in our community, too. So he actually learned to fly at Anoka Airport and used to live here in the Minneapolis area.
Yeah, he's a big float plane flyer himself. So did he fly in for this event in one of his planes?
I believe he came in one of the AOPA planes.
Ah, okay. And, you know, so you got to hang with him. You talked to him right after his presentation. And I know it was about the third class medical, right? That's one of the big elements that they've been talking about at all the fly-ins, as well as AOPA Live and stuff, I guess. Right, Dennis?
Yeah, the Pilot Bill of Rights and third class medical reform is definitely front and center in the AOPA's advocacy, and that was a big part of their presentation. But there was also some other areas of his presentation just about building the pilot community. They were outlining some new programs that they're working with the high schools to introduce aviation into the existing STEM programs, you know, the science, technology, education, engineering, and math programs. So they're trying to add it STEM A and add an aviation branch to that.
Yeah. What do you think about that, Ed?
I like it. Or they could make it STEAM.
Make it STEAM?
Well, same
science,
letters.
Technology, engineering, aviation, and mathematics.
Because aviation is way better than math.
I would agree with that. I mean, math sucks. There's no question about that.
And STEAM sounds
cooler
than STEM.
Unfortunately, you can't do... You can't do aviation without math, unfortunately, right? You know, weight and balance and true airspeed checks.
That's what calculators are for.
Yeah,
what are you kidding
me?
That's why we got iPads.
My sporty Z6B is all about.
Yeah.
Well, we just gained a whole bunch of elementary school listeners.
Well, hey, it's all about sharing the love and opening up the market to more folks to make happy as they, explore the wild blue yonder. And you don't have to let math hold you back.
No.
Yeah.
It hasn't held Greg back.
That's right.
Well, at least not after high school.
That is one more excuse I could use, I guess, is what we're getting at. But let's get off of that subject. Let's talk about what else you saw at the fly-in there, Dennis. So you heard the presentation, third class medical, the Bill of Rights. What else were they talking about? Anything in particular that caught your ear, or did you just go out there and just mix and mingle and just have fun and enjoy the afternoon?
Yeah, largely just mix and mingle. I just wanted to be out there to see, you know, this is my first time that I've been to any of the AOPA fly-ins, or even they used to have the expos back a couple of years ago, and I've never had an opportunity to go. So I just wanted to see what this was all about, and it was really nice. You know, good mix of exhibitors. So they had, you know, the Oshkosh-style tents you could walk through and see, you know, the various vendors. You know, a lot of the local companies were present. You know, Tanis aircraft preheaters are here in Minneapolis. They had a booth there. You had Jepson was there, I believe NORAD to tell you what not to do.
Okay.
But, you know, it was just nice to be able to go walk around those booths without the huge lines and that you see at some of the other air shows. And it was a little bit more intimate venue. And I enjoyed it. It was nice.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of what my feeling was after coming away from the one at St. Simon's last year.
Yeah.
It was more personable. You could see more things, do more things, and
barbecue was awesome.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, they have good food there at this one, or what, Dennis?
Absolutely. They had a half a dozen food trucks out in front, too. So if you weren't there for the big meal, they also had lots of other pickings.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you had just a nice event, and it sounds like it would be something you'd revisit again. You'd go to another one.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yeah, it was great. I took my son with, you know, since he's recently soloed, and so we were able to go walk around in, you know, North Dakota, Grand Forks, UND was there. He was able to go talk to them because, you know, as a junior in high school, it's starting to think about, you know, what's the next step here, and so he was able to talk to them and several of the other large nationwide flight schools. I think Embry-Riddle had a whole little trailer and demonstration area with flight simulators and stuff set up that you could go talk to them. Several of the other aviation programs like South Dakota, I think it was South Dakota State University out of Brookings, had one of their aircraft there and a couple of their instructors to talk to about, you know, their aviation program. So it was really kind of a nice mix. It wasn't just manufacturers showing off airplanes, although Cirrus was there. They brought their jet and we were able to see, you know, the prototype jet and actually got to watch that fly Friday night.
Oh, you know, cool.
Yeah, that was cool.
You got another plane on your list to buy now, Dennis?
I still got to get the first Cirrus. My father worked there for 8 years. I kept telling him to bring parts home in his lunchbox, and there's a limit to what fit. You know, I wanted him to pull a Radar O'Reilly, you know, bring it
exactly,
to send a Jeep
exactly
home.
Exactly, I just thought, shipping a Jeep home one piece at a time.
Mm, okay.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
Just get a what, Keith?
A bigger lunchbox.
Oh, well, exactly.
We almost had that. My younger brother was actually a mechanic for Cirrus for a couple of years up there, and he had to actually drive the one of their straight trucks down to the Long Beach Expo 1 year, and he stopped here at my house overnight. And the neighbors looked out and saw a Cirrus truck backed up to the third garage stall and went, "Did you just buy an airplane?" They thought I was unloading a restoration into the garage.
We were just borrowing parts. Yeah, that's what we were doing. We've given some people ideas of things they shouldn't do. That's just what we do here at Just Plain Radio, and we'll keep doing it next. Stay close.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder. Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
With Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Your landing is your first impression. It's your superhero handshake.
We were all meant to fly. Spread your wings across the universe. Soon you'll find that it's your time to fly.
Not if you're in Alaska, because there's a NOTAM. Actually, it might have been lifted by now, I guess, because the president was up there. Tom Haines was alluding to it last week on the big show as he was spending some time in Alaska. But the hunters up there in Alaska, not happy with the president, because the first weekend or the first few days of hunting season were restricted on their fly-ins in the various airports around there because he was in town. And we had talked about it last week. One of the only ways you can get into some of these areas is by plane. That's it.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I was looking at the NOTAM this week for Alaska. And you know, on that point, you can understand why they were a little miffed about the whole thing. But it was a fairly detailed plan. Like, at this airport, it's going to be closed for several hours. This airport's going to be closed for several hours. And then I read, commercial flights that are approved by TSA, no problem. And I'm like, wait a minute. It only affect the general aviators, the guys that need to hunt to live up in that neck of the woods, or what?
Yeah, I mean, why do you think we complain about it? Is it does discriminate the air, major air carriers flying passenger jets can get around this, but a commercial operator, Charter 135, etc., cannot.
Yeah. Or sightseeing planes or flight training.
Or just
whatever.
A flight training, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's just not fair. I mean, it's just, you would think, why are we the bald-headed stepchild of aviation when it comes to this?
Hey, I mean, especially, I've got all my hair.
Well, okay. I'll accept
that, because okay. That was directed right at me.
Well, is that both of you? It was aimed both.
What? I got hair?
No, turn around. No, you don't.
What are you talking about? I don't know what he means.
You need to look
that.
In the mirror someday.
That's what baseball caps are for, man.
Okay.
All right.
Back,
so
back to what we're talking about.
Yeah. So I just don't understand why. I mean, well, first of all, what's the fear that it's just harder to wrangle these general aviators in their little Cessnas or something, or therefore, you know, Secret Service?
You're trying to get a reasonable response from an FAA policy?
Keep in mind, this is not FAA policy.
Right, true. I was going to say, it's not FAA.
This is TSA policy.
Well, it's probably Secret Service policy,
yeah.
Too. But
that's what I'm guessing.
This was brought on by the Homeland Security, you know, when Bush set this up. And I don't think it was meant to be set up as far as it has been taken today. You know, this organization or this administration, you know, when Bush would come in, it would go up. As soon as he landed, it would go down.
Okay. That's understandable, maybe. You know, if you have to close it down for a half hour while the president lands or something and clears the runway. But, yeah, we're talking about 4 or 5 hour blocks of time, if not even longer.
Well, and we talk about when the 2008 campaign, when President Obama passed through Orlando, spent the night at a hotel in Orlando, we were shut down for basically 26, 27 hours. We could not start an airplane It was more overnight, so it was maybe, you know, 12, 13 hours.
Yeah.
But, you know, we could not move an airplane on the airport. We just literally had to shut down.
Yeah. But there's no explanation of why, other than they just think this is a safer way to go. Is that all you guys have ever heard about this kind of thing or what? I mean,
well, I've never really heard a real explanation as to why this has to be this way. Mm-hmm. You know, keep in mind, they put this into effect after September 11.
Sure.
Well, it was not general aviation airplanes that did this.
Right.
It was passenger airliners.
Go figure. Yeah. What's that all about? Yeah. So, you know, that's what I'm saying. It doesn't make any sense. I didn't realize they were making this differentiation between general aviation and commercial, you know, airlines or activity. I figured it was all shut down in Alaska. But then I saw that. And I'm like, wait a minute, why are they letting those guys fly, but they're not going to let the general aviation folks fly? You know, and it made some comment, like if he gets, do you have the NOTAM pulled up there, Ed?
No, I don't.
Oh, you're looking at something else.
Well, you know, what happens in commercial aviation is it's a domino effect. You know, you don't let a flight go into Alaska. Well, then the number one, the people can't get in, they can't get out. But also, where do the flights go to and stop? You know, when they start canceling their routes, that messes up the whole airline system when you take out a destination like that. Just think of it like a weather delay.
Yeah.
You know, if Chicago gets shut down or Atlanta gets shut down for weather, you know, airlines can be backed up for a day or more just trying to get caught up again, trying to get airplanes repositioned in order to pick everything back up again.
Okay.
And so I think that's probably why they're allowing the commercial operators to do it. But, you know, especially in Alaska, you know, there is absolutely no reason to do it. And they're actually taking food out of people's mouths. And it's, you know, if you want to go back at this administration, it's absolute discrimination when you look at it. In that aspect, they're discriminating against general aviation.
Pilots' lives matter, I think, is what you're trying to say.
Well, I'm trying to say that
pilots' livelihoods matter.
Okay, maybe
livelihoods matter. Yeah,
yeah.
I mean,
you know, and it's the other thing is it's not just the pilots. Yep. Let's talk about the hunting lodges that the hunters can't get to.
Mm-hmm.
That their season is so short, they have to make their money in these 3 months of summer, and you know, so or however many weeks it is. So missing 3 days, 4 days because of this, how many hunters couldn't get out there? They may not have enough to make it through the winter. And it's not just the pilots. It's the whole economy around that. And what a lot of people don't understand, and there are plenty of economic impact studies done, how much a small airport or a small airplane financially impacts an area. And I mean, you can remember some of the things we heard when we were at NBA a few years back about,
yeah,
you know, having a company airplane and how it took a small town in West Virginia and significantly affected the life of the people in that town because that company could put a call center in that location.
Right.
But that's small change. I don't think a study has ever been done in Alaska.
No, you're right.
A totally different animal altogether.
And that's the other thing, you know, that people don't understand is how much this is a part of Alaska.
Yeah, well, it's it's their overall livelihood. Tom said last week from AOPA that this is the only way to get in and out of the area is through general aviation. It's not like that in most other places in the country.
No,
but there, I mean, it can be life or death, or it could be, like you said, the lifeblood of your livelihood for your business. I mean, but you know that part of it is being affected all across the country when they do this. So, I mean, whether it's a flight school or whatever. So, I don't know. We could complain for days. And I don't know, that would allow Captain Keith to get rid of some of that stress that he has with these type of topics.
He didn't get stressed.
No stress, Keith?
No stress at all.
I sense a stroke coming on or something. Some kind of aneurysm or... It's just me, Keith?
Yeah, that would be you, not me.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I've been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere. And you gotta learn to use those wings. Can't see.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith. All right, so we've been talking about this NOTAM in Alaska and how the president affected the flight plans of the folks in the area that limited, you know, their access to their airplanes. Now, the other thing is, like you had mentioned earlier, Keith, is weather affects access and storms. And, you know, well, at the time, it was a tropical storm, Erica, came over the island of Dominica. And by the way, that's how you say it, Dominica, not Dominica, or not Dominica, which is what all the mainstream media said last week on the news. It's Dominica. I've been there many times. The storm Erica came in and washed out the airport. And they are really struggling. Like 20 people died. And some, you know, this is getting out of, you know, into the mainstream media a little bit. But I just saw some video right before we got on the air today of the airport, pretty much the only airport to fly into Dominica, just has been decimated with boulders and mud and everything. They're trying to clear it up so they can get access. But right now, the only way to get supplies to the island is via boats.
Wow.
Until they get the runway cleaned up there. But hopefully that'll happen soon. And people will be able to fly in. You have a friend that flies into Dominica quite a bit, don't you, Ed? Who is the guy that we want? He says he flies in there once a year. That patronizes flight training professionals. You know who I'm talking about.
I know, but I'm horrible. I can't remember who it was.
When he said, "Hey, Greg, you're a diver. I go there every year," and he flies in. I assume he flies into that same airport. There's actually two airports you can fly into. There's a smaller runway in the city of Roseau, in the main town, but it's a much trickier landing. So you really have to fly in on the other side of the island in this valley runway that. And that's the one that really has gotten washed out. The one by the city, I don't even know. I didn't see any video on that one yet. But that's a tricky landing because of the winds and stuff and that kind of thing. But anyway, we'll stay abreast of the situation and just know that hopefully Dominica will be available for you to fly in here soon. And our thoughts and prayers go out to them as well.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Now go! Fly! Be free!
Time for me to fly! I want to set myself free! Time for me to fly! That's just how it's got to be! I know it hurts to say goodbye, but it's time for me to fly!
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith from Flight Training Professionals. FTPros.com, the website you can go to and learn how to fly with them as your flight instructors. All right, so we're based in Orlando, Florida. And, you know, we've been dealing with some crappy weather this week. The remnants of Erica. It kind of broke up once it got past Dominica and San Juan. But it did kind of, you know, it rained a lot all throughout Florida this week. But you were telling me that it didn't really affect flying?
No, I mean, what we got really wasn't part of Erica.
Wasn't it just like bands, feeder bands?
No, it wasn't even that. There was some moisture that came up from it, but it really was so disorganized by the time it passed Cuba that, you know, some of the moisture came, but most of it stayed out in the Gulf. So we really, it was, you know, this big prep. Oh, we're in the cone. Oh, we're on one side of the cone. Oh, we're in the center of the cone. Oh, mm-hmm. We're on the other side of the cone. And, oh, we're on the bad side of the storm. All of a sudden, the storm. I'm like,
there is no cone.
It's too far away. It's 3, 4, 5 days out. It's too early to tell. And what was interesting is that all the forecasters were like, this storm is not doing a thing that it was predicted to do.
Yeah,
and that was the funny continuous theme out of it. There was one time it showed the cone, and this was right before they downgraded it and said no more updates. Mm-hmm. They showed the cone on one side of Cuba, and then they showed the center of the storm on the other side of Cuba. I'm like, hey, what's wrong here? Your accuracy is way off.
Yeah.
But that was when it was just totally falling apart.
As opposed to watching the weather, you're better off talking to an aviator. Because Ed, in particular, if I ever really want to question about what the weather's going to do, he knows way better than the local news guys.
Well, the local news guys, they don't have a very high bar to get over. They can be wrong, 80% of the times, not lose
right.
their job?
True. And, yeah, your life depends on knowing what you're flying into, kind of, in a sense. Maybe that's the motivation.
But I still don't know enough about weather.
Well, nobody does, really. Yeah. But as far as really knowing what it's going to do, the reality is none of them do. Whether it's I remember visiting a National Weather Service presentation at a mm-hmm. boating event that I went to several years ago. This is the head of the weather, NOAA, I guess,
NOAA,
right?
Yeah.
And he's the president of NOAA. And he gives his presentation, and we think we're going to be, you know, he's going to share all this, enlightenment on how they predict what happens with storms. And he basically got up there and said, look, here's the deal. We have no idea what the hell is going to happen. We have no clue. There's too many variables at play. There's no way to predict what the weather is going to do. We can just make a somewhat educated guess from past models and things like that. But honestly, we have no clue. Mm-hmm. We have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, wow. With all the technology we have, we still can't seem to figure out what's going on with the weather. So you really just got to stay up on top of it and find out what it's doing in the immediate future so you don't fly out into any of this mess, I guess, right?
Yeah.
But the storms we did have this week were pretty intense in Orlando.
Oh, yeah. There was some good lightning.
Serious lightning this week.
It was popping. And you know, but that happens in an afternoon thunderstorm, too.
Mm-hmm. And lightning is not a problem, though, in the airplanes. Unless you get struck, or if you get struck, it ain't that big a deal, or what?
You know, in a small airplane, I have never been struck by lightning because I don't go near where lightning is being produced.
Okay, so that's
now,
the key.
Keith, on the other hand, he's got stories for you, but they weren't in small airplanes.
Well, yeah, and the commercial carriers have no choice. Sometimes they get into this mess, right, Keith?
Well, yeah. I mean, sometimes you just get into it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, airplanes can create their own lightning. Mm-hmm. Static electricity. Yep. I've had that happen as well. It's just like walking on carpet, you know, you kind of shuffle your feet a little bit and then you poke your sister and shock her, you know, just to get her eyes out of her. Yeah. Airplanes do the same thing as they're flying through the clouds. That causes friction, and if enough friction builds up, it can create its own lightning charge.
Hmm.
So
what does that do? Does that light up the clouds and then they get annoyed with you and scream or what? I mean, would you see this looking out the window of your airplane when this happened?
Well, you'll see the lightning bolt when it hits you.
Okay.
Which is what happened to me. You know, we don't, just like anybody else, we don't try and fly into thunderstorms. The right. radar on the airplane only can show you precipitation, just like any other radar. It only shows precipitation. And so, you know, you try and avoid the heaviest because the heaviest is what's going to give you the highest returns, echo returns, mm-hmm. which means, you know, the higher the storm is, the stronger it is.
Right.
And then also, if the radar cannot see through the storm, that also tells it that you're going to have something stronger. And you want to stay away from that stuff.
I saw a video this week on YouTube, once again, where it
because
showed...
he works so hard, he spends his day on YouTube.
Hey, this is aviation research that you should be proud of, because I was watching
like
a video...
Like Tom's research flying around Alaska? I like Tom's research better.
There's time-lapse camera footage of radar around Atlanta-Hartsfield Airport. Mm-hmm. And it showed how the afternoon storms were billowing up like we get here in Florida.
Yeah, I think I've seen that video.
Did you see that?
Yeah, I think I have.
And it showed the pathway of how they were routing the traffic. And you can see the line of planes literally like threading a needle through the clouds in the radar window. It was pretty remarkable, actually, mm-hmm. to see. So that track that they map up, are those the pilots making those decisions? Or is it air traffic control putting them on that flight path to avoid those storms? Or a little bit of both?
It's a little bit of both. You know, the air traffic control will tell you what they see on their radar. You look at what you see on your radar, and you either agree or disagree. And if you disagree, you know, you tell them what heading you want, and they'll put you through there. Mm-hmm. And then you go through it, and then you want to tell the guy behind you, you know, air traffic control's going to say, hey, well, how was your ride through there? Oh, it was great. You know, yeah. They're going to send the next guy through there. And, you know, kind of do it that way. And sometimes you're going to go, well, no way, don't go through there. And they're going to try and find something else until everything shuts down, and then they go to their alternates.
Hmm. Or go to alternates or start holding.
Or you do what Denzel Washington does and says unable, and then he turns the plane upside down to thread the needle or something like that. Isn't that what that?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It was at some movie. Yeah. So, yeah.
Seatbelts on. You know, we don't want anybody falling out when we roll this thing upside down. Mm-hmm. He did that, right?
Yeah, I think he did. Something like that. Yeah,
I don't know. I refused to see the movie.
Really? It was a good movie, wasn't it? You liked it, didn't you, Keith?
No, it was not my... No.
It was not your favorite, huh?
No.
It could happen. It's Denzel Washington. He can do anything. Come on. And that
you know, that kind of ruined my picture of Denzel Washington.
Really?
Yeah.
Why? Because you didn't like the fact he flew the airplane upside down.
No, and, because he was a drunk.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was a movie.
I just have a hard time with that.
What, drinking and flying an airplane, you mean?
Yeah.
Or the fact that it kind of glamorized
portrays that and kind of glamorizes it a little bit, you know, and makes people think that there's more of that going on than what there really is.
Yeah.
Does some of that happen? Absolutely.
Yeah, we hear about it on the news all the time. Those are the stories that make the news, those and plane crashes.
Mm-hmm.
But
exactly,
so,
yeah.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's negative publicity for us. And, you know, not only was he doing that, but he was doing coke and, you know, whatever else he was doing.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, you know, there's things in place that, you know, he would have been tested for that long before it ever got to the point where he was at.
Okay. Yeah. So it wasn't realistic is what you're saying.
No. I mean, and that take that whole last scene where he takes the airplane upside down out of it, and none of it was realistic.
Well, understood, yeah. But just that one part. I like that one part of the movie where they're flying. Yeah, do you think you could flip a plane like that? Could you do that in reality, or think there's no way in hell?
Well, no. I mean, the airplane will do it.
It'll do it.
You know, it has to be done right in order to, you know, not fall apart.
Have you ever done that in a sim just for fun? Tried to fly a big 747 upside down? Is that what it was? Yeah. Or what was it? 787 or 777? It was a big one.
No, it was an ERJ, wasn't it?
I don't even remember what it was.
It was a big old jetliner.
It was an ERJ 60 or 50-seater.
No. No, it was a big airplane, I thought.
Yeah, it was a bigger airplane. I don't remember what it was. It was.
But you've done that in the sim.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah? You flew it upside down?
Yeah.
All right, well, I think I know what I got to do before next week. That's one thing. I've done the loops. I haven't done the upside down thing. I just haven't thought about that. Now I have a
everything's
have a plan.
Backwards.
Yeah.
Everything's backwards.
You should be right at home.
Yeah, I don't even mention it.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder. Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
With Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Watch the sky.
I like the spike with pain, and music is my aeroplane. It's my aeroplane.
Let's spike with pain. This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Ed and Captain Keith. All right, so we're navigating the latest aviation news and information as best we can, and you know, sometimes we veer off course slightly because of my meanderings, but that I'll take responsibility for that.
Because of lack of navigation skills.
You are the pilot in command, Ed, so I'll just hand over the controls to you.
I have the flight controls.
Yeah.
No, I just wanted to bring up a big milestone for Vans Aircraft, the people that make the RV kits. And our friend Jim is building an RV-7. Mm-hmm. And their RV-12 version, which is a... one that they can factory produce as a light sport, and we as a flight school could actually even use one because it's a manufactured light sport versus a home-built light sport.
Mm-hmm.
So it can be either built as a kit or be factory built. They've just reached the magic number of 1,000 kits or aircraft sold They have about 450 of them already flying, there's a program within some school systems that are actually building these airplanes. The kids build the airplanes during the school year, then are able to learn to fly. There was one built here in Orlando about a year and a half ago. They're actually working on another one now at a program at a school called Circle Christian. And so it's a great thing to get young people in. And basically, Vans has provided these airplanes at a reduced price, and so that these schools can build them. Great little airplane. And I would actually, if I have to replace my Skycatchers, this would be the airplane I'd replace them with.
Yeah. Is that a two-seater or four-seater?
It's a two-seater. Two-seater, okay. Side-by-side.
All right.
And that's also Sporty's gave a couple of them away already as their giveaway airplanes. Mm-hmm. But just another number that kind of shocked me. They've got a number of airplanes that have already met the 1,000 airplane sales mark. They have over 9,000 airplanes flying. Actually done with kits, built. I didn't realize there were that many RVs out. And yeah, we're talking RVs, 3s, 4s, 5s, 6s, 7s, all the way up to the RV-14.
Yeah. The higher the number, isn't it, the bigger the plane too, or no?
Not necessarily. It might just be configuration. Like the RV-8 is a front to back seating airplane, tandem seating, but it has a sliding canopy.
Oh, okay.
Whereas I think the RV-7, which Jim is building, is actually a little bit bigger than the RV-8.
Mm-hmm.
So
maybe we're going to make one. Maybe we need to get a Just Plane Radio RV something. But it'd have to be the biggest one they have, because that's the only thing that's held me back before.
It's the only thing that would fit other than your head in it?
Building an airplane. No, we looked at it at Air Venture and at Sun and Fun.
Yeah.
Actually, I looked at them at Air Venture with Jim and Deb last year.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's interesting.
Well, then I think what we need to do, and maybe next week is see if Jim's in town.
Yeah.
You need to get him on the radio and ask him what it takes to build an airplane.
Well, it takes him forever, because he's been working on his for at least 2 years now that I'm aware of, and I think
that's
it's been longer
nothing.
Than that.
That's nothing.
Nothing?
That's nothing.
Now, wait a minute. Now, last year at Air Venture, they made a plane in a week. Why couldn't we? We got three people right here. You're handy with stuff like that, and Keith's like a, you know, he's like a full-time mechanic, you know, working on his,
motorcycle,
all kinds of stuff like that. Yeah, he's always fixing stuff.
Yeah,
that breaks, or does he just break it? I don't know.
Well, when it comes to airplanes,
I let you use it, Greg.
But no, they build an airplane in a week. But that's that. Look at the man hours they put into it.
Yeah,
that's the key thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, I got some time. I could put in, if you guys would tell me, like, okay, put this rivet there. I could do some of this.
Oh yeah,
you know, and maybe we can pull this off. Do we got a place where we could assemble an airplane like that?
I think if you leave your cars out of your garage, and in your garage.
I don't use my back porch for much.
No, it needs to be in a garage.
It has to be covered.
Oh yeah.
I got my car then there. I don't have any space in my garage. How about in the office here?
Cars are
in the studio.
You can do some of it in the studio.
Good.
But you got to understand, cars are merely things that you drive to and from the airport, and homes are merely places you stay in between trips to
right.
and from the airport.
Well, we couldn't just talk to the folks there at Orlando Executive and say, "Hey, this is a project. It may take a week or two. Can we have the lobby here at
for a price?"
For the price of telling people where it is that we promote their place. See, you got to flip it on them, Ed. It's called marketing.
Good luck with that, Greg.
Yeah. Well, it's an idea. Probably another bad one. But I don't know. Have you ever wanted to build a plane, Keith?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
But what's held you back?
Time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I just don't have the time to put into it.
Same for you, Ed?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I would get more into restoring an old plane than building one from scratch.
Why?
I just like old airplanes.
What if you got a new kit that looked like an old airplane? A lot of those RV somethings look like some kind of classic built type something.
Give me a J3 Cub, tear the skin off it, clean it up, fix it up, that would be much more my style.
Yeah, but if you started from scratch and
I tell you what, my restoration project would take much less time than starting from scratch.
Well, of course it would, but you wouldn't have to make every single part with your own bare hands. That's what I'm saying. Would be kind of
These things come as kits.
So you just take the fin.
It's think of when you were a kid and you build an airplane model. It's about the same thing, just a lot more time.
Mm-hmm. You just snap on the wings.
Follow the directions, and I'm some not whales good at following those directions.
Yeah, that could be an issue for me, too. There's all that reading and all that kind of crap. But, you know, now we have YouTube, so you don't even have to do that. You just go to YouTube and like, okay, I need to assemble my my tail section for my RV something or other. You go to YouTube and type it in there, and they have a step-by-step video.
Now, Vans is great because they have, and this is what Jim and Deb have done, they've gone out to their factory and gone through classes and actually built their tail assembly while they were out there.
Well, right. There you go. Yeah. Ed and Keith are going to build me a plane, and we've solved all my problems.
Dream on.
And we're out of time. So, till next week, remember, there's no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plane Radio is brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plane Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlaneRadio.com.
I'm going to lead my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plane Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plane Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlaneRadio.com.